Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and it is a joy to come and share the Word of God with you as we glean from David Jeremiah's book, The God You May Not Know. The God You May Not Know. And so we're going to hear a musical selection, and then we're going right into the lesson. I pray that everybody has your books out and your workbooks, and you've written the answers to some of our study questions so that we can dialogue, so that we can share and put out there what God has put in us, as we did at our homework, if you will, our life work. Amen. So,
amen.
When I consider the vastness of God and all of the marvelous attractions that his hands have made, flowers and birds and
oceans
and mountains,
the God,
God is an awesome one.
You may not be.
Surrender to the wonder of your power. You are an awesome one.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The awesome wonder. Sometimes we need to be reminded. We need to stop and we need to meditate on who God is, who he has expressed to us, who he is, his nature, his character, his traits, his virtue, his mighty, mighty qualities. And sometimes we don't have it as the priority in our minds and in our hearts. We know it. We know the facts about it. But we want to deeply and intimately know him. So there is a God we know about. We've been preaching about him, singing about him, teaching about him, listening, reading about him. But we have been involved in activities, and he needs us to come up hither. That's the word on the church this year. And as a result, we need to understand that he is intimately calling us, drawing us with loving kindness to come closer and closer to him, making him our priority, but realizing that all around us, we see his power, we see his might, we see his character, we see the awesome wonder of God. And when you sit and think and just meditate just on the wonder of his purpose, of his person, the wonder, it is an awesome wonder. And as the songwriter was singing, when you go through those things that we know, we've heard them all. Always, like I say, we preach them, sang them, taught them, memorize those things. But to have them take root in our hearts and a deeper understanding of them take over our spirit so that it rises above the knowledge we have and it comes to the relationship that is being developed between heaven and earth. We get a holy fear. We don't have that as the saints did in times past. I know my grandmother used to say, you know, you don't play with God, and we would do different things, and that was just, that was sacrilege. And you got severely punished because there was a holy fear of God. And I remember growing up thinking that if you told a lie, that God would, lightning would strike out the sky and strike you. So if I was around somebody that was doing something that I knew God didn't like because my grandmother had told me, I would back up. And he wanted to strike and hit me. And so that's that holy fear. That's that reverence, not fully knowing, not fully understanding, but having a knowledge of. And so as I've matured in Christ, that knowledge of turns into a love. There starts with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And yet as you go in that holy fear and you acknowledge his wonders and the wonder of his person and of his character, then that turns into a love relationship. And in a love relationship, you want more and more and more. And as the author shares with us, and as we know, and the word tells us, that you cannot worship someone that you don't know. And we were created to worship God. And the only way we can worship him is to know about him truly. It's this worship is loving and praising God that we personally know. So often we are trained Christians and we're God-starved inwardly because we know what is supposed to be, but we see what is. And because it takes a relationship to start to walk by faith, because that's a trust in someone you know, not on a shallow level, but on a deeply personal level, excuse me, you come to know them. So worship is loving and praising God. We can only worship someone we love, and we can only love someone that we know intimately, know the deep details. It is if we really know God as he wants to be known by us, we would love him. And if we really loved him, worship, and I love this the way the author shares it, love will be the explosion that takes place in our soul as we comprehend and appreciate our maker, our defender, our redeemer, our friend. And on and on and on, we look at the names of God that are presented to us and that are presented to us in our life, in our walk, excuse me, in the things that we, in the situations where we found ourselves. And so we had shared on last week that we want to become a name dropper. So as we're reading, we want to highlight some of the names of God that are mentioned. So I give you an opportunity to highlight and tell me the names of God that you read in this lesson. You are all off mute. You're able to talk and dialogue, and this is a fellowship of learners. So we want to interact with one another. So just take your phones off mute and share some of the names of God that the author declares as he is identifying our path to intimacy with God. You can almost turn to any page, excuse me, of this book, and you will find names of God that he is highlighting. Anybody? Okay. All right. So I need to let y'all talk for a minute so that I can fix myself. But okay. Knowing the God that we worship. We're coming out of Jeremiah 9, 23, and 24. And in this scripture, and I believe we shared that last week, but someone can get it again for us now so that we keep it in the forefront of our minds so that it becomes the base, the basis of what we're looking at, what we're talking about. And someone get Daniel 4, just get the fourth chapter of Daniel. Because we want to look at the presentation through his life of the worship that he had and how it was developed. And so knowing God gives us, there are four benefits. And we want to be sure that these four benefits we are pursuing. We receive these when we pursue our relationship with God. And in the first song that we shared this morning, it says that God would be his face, the face of God, the face of Jesus is the prize of our life, and that we will run in this race for this prize. In other words, we will pursue this intimate connection with the living God, and that will give us a sense of pride that will be, I want to say, what is it, the word for this month for the prophetic word is recover. And so we will recover the correct pride that we're to have. And that is the pride in him, in knowing him, when we realize the awesomeness of God, the awesome wonder. What wonders of God can you just off the top of your head come up with that actually invokes a holy fear in you. What wonders? And it's knowing those wonders, it's understanding and becoming one with those wonders that are in him that gives us the true pride of our life. Because knowing that that God, that that holy, almighty God loves us, and that gives us our worth, that gives us our value. So that is our pride in him. Knowing him also gives us a purpose. But the purpose is from him, not our own purpose of pursuing those things that we desire to pursue, but the purpose of knowing. In the song, he said that before he knew me before he even the foundation of the world. One of the writers presented the question, when do you first appear? When does man first appear in Scripture? And he indicated it was in the beginning when God created the heaven and earth. His thoughts were always of us. He said before the foundation of the world, he knew about us. So we were there then in his thoughts. And it's such a vast, I don't even know what to call it, that it's so hard to comprehend. It's the vastness of God. It's the awesomeness of the majesty of God that oftentimes causes us not to understand how to pursue him, how to love him, how to be a part of that intimate relationship. And some often feel that they can't, that it's not a place that they can go to. It is not a relationship that they can have. And they think of the God as a God that's far from them, high and lifted up, and he is, but he's also nigh unto us. He's close to us. He's there. He's breathing. Anybody that's drawing you with loving kindness is intimately involved in you, in your insights, in your concerns, in your purpose, in you, in your health, in your finance. Loving kindness is drawn when you know a person, and he knows us. And so we want to be able to respond to that knowing, to that knowledge, to that love, to that drawing with loving kindness, loving him back and finding a sense of power and purpose in it. And then finding that awesome peace, that peace of serenity that gives us a confidence in whatever life brings, because we're confident in him. It is not in our ability or in man's ability or in my knowledge of how to make good decisions or whatever, but it's all in him. God knows. It's in him. It's just, you know, you can sleep soundly at night and not worry about what is happening in your life and around your life. We learned that his sovereignty, and here's some of those words that define who he is, that causes our spirit to explode in worship. And that's his sovereignty, his holiness, justice, his omnipotence, his omniscience. It guards us daily. What do you mean? It's all of these mighty traits and power and characteristics and virtues of the living God, the awesome God, the almighty God, the ancient of days. It guards us daily. But if you don't know him, then the affairs of this world will keep us in a constant state of fear and anxiety. And you may say, well, no, I'm not fearful, I'm not anxious. No, we're not. But are we serene? Do we experience, and I know we have a peace with God. We don't. We understand that Christ came and he redeemed us and he made an atonement for us. And so we now are no longer enemies of God, but we are children, sons and daughters of the living God. But to be a son and daughter, there is more. And there is a place of peace. And Christ said, the peace I have, I give to you. I leave it. And can't nobody take that peace away. But only as you acknowledge the awesome wonder of the God that I serve and the God that the Father that sent him, the Father that sent him. And as he understood, because he was there at the beginning of time when all of those things were created, worlds without end, but then so were you. So was I. We were there because he said, okay, that before the foundation, he knew us. You don't know something or someone that doesn't exist. We existed. But the awesome part of that is we existed in his mind and in his heart. And we ended up being the recipient of everything he created. It's like it all was focused on the thought that he had of us. And so why, David said, so why are you downcast? What's wrong with you? It doesn't matter what the world is doing or what my enemies are doing or the fact that Saul don't understand that I'm supposed to be king. Why is he trying to kill me? Why is he leaving me alone? Why don't these people be helpful to me? It doesn't matter because this sovereign God, that's the person that's above all and everything and reigning there. It's one thing to be above. You could be up there spitting, but he isn't. He's above all things, but he reigns there. That means everything is in his control. When you got horses and you holding the harness or whatever the thing is that make them go giddy up, you're in control. You're reigning over that horse. That horse has to do what you want him to do. And that's what God is, sovereign. He is sovereign, and worlds have to do what he wants them to do. So there's nothing that's befalling us or coming in our situations and circumstances that are beyond his control. But more than that, they are a part of his control because he said, I'm going to make all things work to the good. And, you know, he has to do that so that we understand you are seeing something that's got nothing to do with you. So it doesn't matter what tragedy or what challenges are coming. They don't have nothing to do with you because you belong to me. And whatever belongs to me, I'm over it all. And I'm reigning and I'm ruling it. Nothing can come your way but that I allow it to. And then I want you to see that what the world says is bad, I will make it good. And you will understand that the world doesn't define anything. I, the sovereign God, the almighty God, the holy God, the omnipotent God, the omniscient God, these are words that we don't hear often enough because it gives us an insight into who we really are. Our purpose, our promise, the power we have, the pride that we have. We're supposed to have pride, but not in ourselves. But the enemy turns it around, and now we walk around as arrogant, prideful people thinking it's all about us, and it is not. The only place that it's all about us is with God. With God, it's all about us because his love covers that, and his love requires that from him. He is holy. There's no error or evil within him. And as a result, that which belongs to him, he is just. And then he's merciful because he's understanding and he's long-suffering and he is faithful. I love it. Feed on the faithfulness of God. Just meditate on just those three words, feed on the faithfulness of God, five words, sorry. Just to feed on his faithfulness. And when you sit and meditate on how, well, first of all, feeding in what way? Nourish my body if God starved inwardly. And I need to give it nourishment. I need for it to come alive on the inside, inwardly, my heart, because I'm created by God, and yet on the inside, I have pushed him out. And so evil and sin and I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So he is not in the priority that he is supposed to be. I want him, God, my will is that you make me willing to receive your power and your heritage. Sometimes it's very difficult to receive gifts. Some people are very hard. It's prideful, but it's pride in the wrong thing. And so, but when our pride is in him, then we are able to receive the gifts that he gives with open arms. And I'll give you an example of that is forgiveness. He forgives us. But how many of us won't forgive ourselves? And how many of us won't forgive others? Because it's hard for us to give, and it's hard for us to receive a blessing, to receive that blessing. He said that he would open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you will not have room enough to receive them. And yet we look for the wrong blessings to be coming from heaven. But the blessings that come is a forgiving spirit. No one wanted that. Okay, it's an acceptance spirit. It's a non-judgmental spirit. These are the blessings. It is a humble heart. It is a peaceful heart. It is a heart that is seeking God's glory only. Those are the blessings of heaven, because that's what happens in heaven. He says all that he's going to pour you out blessings. This is what's up there. What's up there is what he wants to flow out into the world, and this is what he wants to flow out. And the biggest blessing is the love, and yet that is not a blessing we want. Or we want it, but we want it by our own conditions or standards or priorities. But the blessing of love that he's pouring out, you won't have room enough to receive it, because his love is so overflowing, and so well, and it's because he is. Massive. He is gigantuous, if you will. He is just so awesome and so majestic, and just words that are just never enough to fully encompass who he is. And so when we look at this omniscience, he's everywhere. That's how big his love is, everywhere. Everywhere of what he has created, his love is there. And it's there in such a way as to allow us to share it with others, to overflow these blessings that's flowing from heaven out of that window. And it's doing so because it's related to tithe, but that's related to obedience, which is related to trust, which is related to relationship, a love relationship. And so you have, which is related to a holy fear. So you have all these things that gather in our spirit, builds our spirit man, and this is when we become, we're becoming mature in Christ. One of the scriptures that the author shares is the different stages that we go through, and how you are, he says, you are, where the scripture from John, 1 John 2, 12 through 14, where he shares the fact that knowing God is not just a matter of priority and dignity, it brings a maturity into your life available from no other source. John refers to this when he wrote, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And there again, the pride in him, not in you. I write to you, fathers, because you have known you've known him who is from the beginning. You're beginning to get the picture, the fathers. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. That's how we overcome, the word of God abiding in us. That was the weapon of the warfare that Jesus Christ had when he was confronted with the devil, and the devil kept tempting him in areas of human weakness, and he met each one of those temptations with the word of God. Young men, you abide in me. Abide in the branch and in the vine. We are the branches and he is the vine. Because we abide in that, we're starting to grow. We're starting to develop. We're starting to maturate. That word, I love it. And then we go into the place of father or eldership or maturity, where now we know him from the beginning. To know him from the beginning is to understand our beginning, and not just when he made clay and breathed into it. It was well before that. He said, I have known you. In other words, I have intimately loved you and been deeply and intimately involved in desiring you. This is where we get our power from, because we understand the God, this omnipotent, almighty God, ever-present God, all-powerful God. This is the God of the armies of heaven. He is the God of the armies of heaven, and he loves me. That's powerful. That's very powerful. That's that name dropping. You know, when situations come, you drop that name and the situation will pale in comparison to the power that stands with you and in you. He's on the song says he's on the front, he's on the back, he's on the side, and he's down in me. Yes, he is. And that's covering, that's a cover, that's being covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, that powerful, precious blood, that holy blood, because it brings that attribute of our Father directly into our life so that we are no longer bound by fears and by anxiety and by sin and by troubles and by situations and by circumstance and by distraction. How often in this season, in this week, has the enemy tried to distract you from the blessing of a forgiving heart, of a loving spirit, of a, I had to hold this up, but how many times has he tried to distract you with circumstances, situations, and people, difficult people, and yet, the windows of heaven's blessings are still flowing on you. Don't have room to just grab them and run and sit on the pew and say, well, I'm saved, so I'm good. No. Allow it to flow from you, because that's how we change the influences of the mountain. All of these things are interconnected. All of these things are part of an intentional strategy that God, or rather not a strategy, but an intentional plan. This is God's intentional plan that he has for us before the foundations of the earth. And so this is not a, oh, you know, I've been out and I've been doing that, now I'm saved, now God is going to get involved in me. No, he was involved in us when we were out there doing what we were doing, because he's omnipotent and he's omniscient and he's omnipresent. So he was wherever we were, he was. And he was aware of who we were because he's all-knowing. He was aware of what we were doing because he sees everything. He is the God that sees us. All of these names of God that he's given to us so that we can get a clue. We can get a clue and let go of those things that would weigh us down into the world, so that he can lift us up to him. Distractions are many demons. The many, not M, the M-I-N-I, many. They're small. They're not even the powers of the principalities. They're right at the beginning. So we don't have to let those distractions distract us, or as David said, so why are you distressed? You know, why are you downcast? Come on now. Know who we are and whose we are, and be in a holy fear and awe of his awesome wonder. Because the minute those distractions come, if you prioritize your thinking, not on your own flesh and your own emotions and all of that, you're going to squash that. Because he says if you resist the devil, he will flee. So resist him by bringing into your feeding on the faithfulness of God. Think about what he's got. When I was doing that at one point and in meditating, and it was just so much powerful, powerful knowledge and intimacy and a deep understanding of things that came upon me that humbled me, humbled my heart. It's like, my God, God, he is so awesome in his faithfulness. And we know faithfulness over the big things and over the important things that we think are important, but there's so many things we don't have a clue about that he done already took care of. We'll never know what that is because he's already handled them for us. So those things that he allows to reach us is just so that we can know he needs us to know who he is and to trust him. Prophet shared the scripture in Exodus where when the children of Israel were coming out from Egypt and they got to the Red Sea and Moses had been leading them, okay? But then he said, and then the Spirit of the Lord got behind them. The Spirit of the Lord had led them to that place. But then the Spirit of the Lord got behind them and they continued because then they had gained a faith and a trust. Oh, God really is leading us. Oh, look, God really did do that. He said that, and he did that. Yep, he did that, and he did that. All the stuff he did to Pharaoh, all the places, and then they got to that one place and thought, oh, God, now we're going to die because we got water in front and them in back. And he says no, and Moses raises the thing, and the wind, that, and I love it because I always think of the wind as the Holy Spirit. He came, and the east wind came and pulled the water back, and the people went forward. Because once they received the blessing of the Holy Spirit, then they started to walk by faith, not by sight. They didn't need to see Moses. They didn't need, they knew this is the way to go. Now, there were times Moses said, stop, we're going to the left, we're going to the right. But the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire was behind them, and they went forward. It was their rear guard. It's like no enemy is going to come. He shared that with the fact that because of the light, they couldn't see the enemy, and because the light made the darkness the other way, because the light was shining one way and not the other way, then the enemy couldn't see them. And see them by knowing you can't see their weakness. You can't see. All they saw was what they, all they knew was what they heard. They had heard that there's a great people coming, and they're sweeping through the land. Now, they didn't know those people was whining and complaining and grumbling. They didn't know that. But that's because those things God covered in his loving kindness. And in that, in purifying their or maturing them, when they got to that place, they could walk by faith and not by sight. And they learned to trust God. And once you learn to trust God, it's because you have been intimately, deeply, intimately exposed to knowing those names and characteristics and virtues and traits of him that the scripture lists. And so as we get to a place where that is what's paramount in our life, that is what's the most important thing. That is the priority. That's one of the songs that that's the prize of my life is to follow Christ. Paul says this one thing that he counted, that he may know more about God. And Paul, we know he knew a lot. He'd even been taken to the third heaven And he knew that. But he knew there was more. If there's even more than probably being taken there, made him realize this is not, this is just a blink of the eye of all of the awesomeness of God. And it's so difficult to put it into words for ears to hear that have not been anointed by the Spirit, because they can't get it. They can't get it. But once he's anointed our ears to hear and hear the counsel of the Holy Spirit, then our souls explode in worship. And this worship will allow those blessings from the windows of heaven to flow everywhere around us, no matter who we offend or how we annoy. It won't matter, because nothing but love and a desire to bring the glory to God is what our lives are supposed to mirror and manifest. It should be that kind of a light that you can't look at, because it is so bright and it is so unyielding. It will not stop. It cannot be covered. You can lift your hand up, it'll come around your hand. You ever tried to, in a car, you can put sunglasses on, you still can't see, because the light is just that bright. All you're going to see is that light. And that's what we want people to see. That's what the world has to see, that bright glory. And I believe when we do that, then they will see the glory of the Lord coming in the clouds. Oh, hallelujah. He's waiting on us. The earth is moaning. Shine the light and warm you up. You know how cold it can be, but when the sun comes out and it's beaming down on you, it's like, oh, you feel it. You feel, I often think of that, the continent. I know it's not, but it reminds me of the continent of God shining. May his continent shine upon you. Yes, and that when it shines upon you, it melts everything, because it's in awe of who he is. It's his continent, and his continent is all-powerful. It is eternal. It is holy. It is matchless. It's uncomparable. And so when you put those things in the place of our concerns and our distractions and our annoyances in life and our major situations and circumstances in life, pale. They pale because they're not the priority of our life. The priority of our life, and we can't stop it, is this explosion. You can't stop an explosion. It's an explosion of worship. It's an explosion of the love that's in us. It's an explosion of the God of our life, the prize of our life. And so even as Daniel, in the book of Daniel, Daniel 4th chapter, we should read the whole chapter. And it even indicate for Daniel, and even when the three Hebrew boys, their comment is like, God is the only God, and whatever, because I love it. He even says that in this worship, we are developing a passion for a seamless transition into eternity. A seamless transition into eternity. The answer that of knowing this, do you know God or do you just know about God? The answer can be determined by the sense of pride, the sense of purpose, the sense of power, and the sense of peace that others see in your life. When you know him, not only are we prepared to live each day, but we are preparing ourselves for a seamless transition into eternity, because scripture says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. From John 17 and third verse. So I give you opportunity to insight, questions, input, inspiration that you may have had. as you prepared your life work?
Okay. I'm trying to see where you are, and I'm not sure what the life work was because I wasn't online.
Oh, well, you know, it's reading the we're in the first chapter. And in your study guide, the application is about 5 questions that we need to look at. So every week, part of 3 things that we're going to do aside from reading our chapter, and we'll be in chapter 2 next week for Christmas Eve, praise God, is to do the application question at the back of each chapter and in your study guide. And as you read, to check off, highlight, count, however you want to do, every time the author mentions a name of God. And then being cognizant of, stop, meditate on, why did he put that particular name in this particular section as he's trying to communicate to us about our sense of pride or our sense of purpose or our sense of power or our sense of peace. And so those names that he gives are purposeful and they're intentional because they carry with them a weight of glory that we need to matriculate through whatever circumstances or situations that we're experiencing and whatever part of this process that we're in. This is the name of God. And at the beginning, they're those powerful, powerful names of God that attach him to the universe and all of the worlds that he has created. I know in one particular section, he says, God is unique, matchless, infinite, holy, and incomprehensible. He's transcendent. He is God. He's almighty. He's the creator. He's the king, the name above all names. And it just, I mean, he just gets on and on in these alliterations, not alliterations, but in listing the characters and the attributes and the virtues of God so that we will understand what's matchless. There's nothing else more than that. The secret law of our soul is involved, or it is the secret law of our soul is predicated on the names of God, the attributes, the characteristics, the traits, and the virtues of God. That is the law of our soul. And that is what should govern our soul. So understanding of these names, not just saying them, but knowing when to say them and what to expect from them and to greatly anticipate the manifestation of what we expect. So that's kind of our homework or our life work, or just our study time together.
Overseer? Can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Good morning, everyone, and to our gracious host and to the saints on the line. I just wanted to share the study. As we study the names, that's not even adequate, the character. There's no description of who God is and how he has worked in my life, in each season of my life. I can relate to every last name of God. And it's just so humbling to see him work and to reflect back on my life before. Oh, hallelujah. Where he has brought me through the darkness into the light is just, it's glorious. And those are the words, it's glorious. Because he has a plan for each and every one of us. Every situation we go through is to bring us closer and more intimately knowing him. And that is so humbling. And this is what I'm learning out of this study, and I am so glad God has enticed me and encouraged me then get the book, the guideline, everything, because it's working wonders. It is, and it is helping me to apply it in my everyday walk. I mean, oh my gosh, the things that we take for granted, the words that we speak, the things that we do, the actions in our life, we must reflect God's glory in everything we do, because we are His and we are representing Him here. I'm just so amazed, and I thank God for whoever suggested this study. God bless your soul, because it's doing wonders for me. God bless you all. Thank you. This is a cool. I got a slight cold, but hey, we move on and we keep doing what we got to do.
Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was one of the blessings, and I'm glad she's on the line, because I was going to say it and I didn't, but I have to rejoice in God. It is so humbling. My God is so humbling. But when I was meditating on feast and feed on the faithfulness of God, He showed me how all of my children love Him.
Yes, yes, yes.
All of my children's children love Him.
Yes.
And then all that my children love has come to love Him, and that my family is saved. And that is incredible. That is incredible.
Hallelujah.
And it causes for that seamless transition into eternity. Mm. I remember my father passed. It was okay because he was saved. And I knew he was satisfied. And he was receiving a reward that I was going to get to. And so it's these things that cause life to then get its true value and true meaning. And all these other things are they're so unimportant in the scheme of eternity. And that's what we're living, and that's what we're doing. God said to make His name glorious. Now, His name is already amazing. But in this aspect, I believe what He's saying to us is, make sure through your worship of Me that when they hear My name, they'll know who I am. Make My name glorious. Give My name a reputation in the earth realm that only those that love Me can do. So that when somebody says, oh, God, did you really want Him? Because don't let Him come now, because you called Him, He will. So that we don't throw it around. You know, the Israelites, they didn't feel, they refused. They would not say the name God, because it was just too holy. They couldn't come out their mouth. They couldn't do it. They couldn't even write it. They would leave out a letter. You know, everybody knew what they were saying. But that's how that holy fear and reverence of God. Make My name glorious. You know, stop making people come up with these mini gods or taking My name and then trying to reconstruct who I am and what I do. Don't let them tell you, I don't mind if they fornicate because I want them to be happy. Don't tell them, you know, it's okay, and I know I'm about to step on people. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Don't tell them. Don't allow them to tell you that God understands why I don't tithe because I had to pay. That's a lie. That is not the name of God that I serve. He does care, and you should. Because if you want His blessings, He's told you how to get them. You won't get blessed because you robbed Peter to pay Paul. You just better make sure you pay God, and then God will pay Peter and Paul. So I never forget.
Amen.
There is, yes, Okay, anybody, I'm going off. That's the answer to my first question. It says, have you ever seen examples of people creating their own gods to fit what they want? You know, God doesn't mind, you know, he made me a man, but he knows I really am a woman, so he don't mind if I change. That's a lie. That's not the God of glory.
True.
And we don't have to go and just tell them that's a lie, but we definitely have to establish that is not true. And then sometimes maybe you do. You just got to go and say, no, no. Nope. You can't change God because it doesn't suit you. You know, and you can't, what do you want to call it, compromise his holiness because of your wickedness. He's not going for that. Preachers in the pulpit feels all right to have affairs because God, you know, wants them to be happy. Okay. The happiness comes in Matthew's fifth chapter, the whole fifth chapter. Okay. Be humble, be poor, be merciful. That's the happiness. It's got nothing to do with what you do. And so the lines are open. Get me excited. Anybody else? Thank you so much for sharing. I do. I'm gonna just go down the application questions, the answers that I came up with. And so it says, have you ever seen people creating their own God to fit what they want? And I have three things listed. Two I've said. That fourth thing is a very controversial, is divorce. But that becomes a place where that's where forgiveness and covering comes. And everybody isn't at that place. And then it says, if so, in what areas do they compromise God? In the area of his holiness. There's no wickedness in God. None. So he cannot approve of anything that does not give him glory, not give you peace or satisfy your desire. And it says, what happens if we don't know the true God for who he really is? Then it means if we don't know him, Christians, sitting on saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, but if we don't know God intimately, we'll do the same thing. We will compromise his holiness. Then it tells us to read Jeremiah 9:23-24. What does the Lord say he delights in? Those with an understanding to know God. You got to understand, I need to know God. Those, are the ones that God delights in. Is it wrong to boast? If not, what should we boast in? No, it is not wrong to boast as long as we boast in God. What was Paul's ultimate purpose in life? From Philippians 3:10, his ultimate purpose was to know God. In John 1, 1 John 2, 12-13, is 14. It says, list and describe the three stages of spiritual maturity that John mentioned. And all of these things we tried to touch in the lesson today is children, young men, and fathers. Then it questions you, where do you think you are on the ladder of spiritual maturity? And that's a good question for you to ask yourself. And then when you come up with the answer, it says, what can you do in order to reach the next level? So no matter where you are, there's another level. And I put knowing God more deeply, intimately, and applying that knowing and acknowledging his traits and characters to change my response to life and life situations and people. And so that's the kind of thing you want to do with your application, because as you do it, he will give you insight He'll give you insight. I love the story about Nebuchadnezzar, and one under the "Do you know?" at the end of that, it explains the kind of illness that he undoubtedly had experienced, and how this illness was a legitimate thing, and they called it lycanthropy. Anybody that can say that better than me, please do so. And it's a condition known as a wolf man. Nebuchadnezzar, as you know, became like a beast for 7 years. And they call it a mental disorder in which a person believes himself to be a wolf or some other non-human animal. From ancient times, people have been known to take on a characteristic of the most dangerous beast of prey in their geological area of the world. The disorder is linked with the belief in animal, guardian, spirits, vampires, totemism, witchcraft, and werewolves. Many nations have instances of that in their folklore and legends. And this is how things come about. Why? And sometimes we think they're not true. There's nothing new under the sun. While Nebuchadnezzar's seven-year bout may have been explained clinically as this kind of disorder, it was brought on and ended by the supernatural intervention of God as a device to humble a prideful world leader. This is why I say I love and understand how all things are in his hands, everything. And he will do what he wants to do. He'll use whatever he wants to use. He starts it, he ends it, he makes it continue, he can destroy it, whatever is in God's hands. But it's interesting because this takes us back to the secrets of the vine, whether it's discipline or, oh, shoot, what's that one? Disciple? Discipline or discipling, I think that's the two. And so this was a gentleman who felt himself to be God, period. So he wasn't a Christian, and yet God was concerned about his understanding of who he was, and so he intervened. God will intervene, and he intervened for 7 years. Seven numbers are complete. So he was completely convinced God and only God is the only true and living God, and it humbled him. And it turned a prideful world ruler into a humble worshiper of God. So all things are possible with God. We must believe. We must believe in his power and his awesome nature. So we, anybody else, questions, comments, insights, I think that's part of the power of this study guide. It puts you in the lesson. It puts you directly in the lesson, and it puts today in the lesson. People you know, things you do, circumstances and situations that happen. We all know prideful world rulers. We all know them. You know, and so we're seeing now just how God has an answer for everything. Amen.
All right.
I pray that you're enjoying this holy Advent season and that you will remember our Christ must be honored. That's that Christmas, Christ must. And then we're going to put today, be honored. All right? Be honored, be acknowledged, be loved, be obeyed. There's a variety of things that are related to Christ must. And so I pray that you get them and you journal on them for this Advent season, and then come the day of celebration that you'll share them in whatever gathering you're in, so that you're sharing your preparation or your blessings that poured out from heaven, and you're letting them flow on those around you who may not have been a part of such a worship. And so I encourage you to ask God what gift he wants from you. What gift does he want from you? I think this is a time where those that are involved with the Advent candle, and as you light the candle, as you include communion with that holy process, that is a time of devotion and worship that will explode. It will explode in your soul and transform your life forever. That is my prayer for you in Jesus' name. Oh, be blessed and enjoy, obey, know, and embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Have a blessed weekend.
Amen. 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 Everybody. Enjoy, enjoy. Don't forget the swag at the church, too. A musical presentation by Evangelist Diana and her ministry of swag. It stands for something that I don't remember right now. But the donation of a toy or canned good is all you need to get in. It's at Labors for Christ. Starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow. So, musical presentation should be a wonderful time of worship and sharing. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.